But we're going to be talking about getting real with God and really getting into, lastly, we talked a little bit about the fact that we all hide from God in different ways, and God is love, and God wants to draw us to Him so that He can heal those areas in our lives. And one of the ways that we hide from God is that we hide those old wounds or those past wounds that we've been through that we think are all better, but aren't necessarily all better. And we're carrying baggage from our past experiences into the rest of our lives. And God wants to heal us so that we can let go of that baggage and really walk into the people that He's made us into. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Exactly. And we're going to talk about that. And that's one of the biggest reasons that I believe a lot of times we're like, why am I not over this? Why am I not over this? Because we're still hanging on to a little bit of anger, a little bit of resentment. But we think that I'm over that. You know, I've forgiven that person. But
just think about it, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the same thing, is it?
Well, I think that somebody told me that when you can pray for that person,
and
God will bless them, then you pretty well at home where you're thinking of it. You know, as long as you're still harboring bad feelings towards them, but they haven't really forgiven them. So, you know. And you can't ever forget a lot of times, but you can consider it null and void. Null and void, you know? No longer is going to affect me. You're not hurting them. You're hurting yourself.
Yeah, it's like drinking poison and hoping someone else will die. It's not going to work. You know, I mean, when we're walking in unforgiveness, that's pretty much what we're doing, you know. It's not affecting them. They don't know, you know, like all that stuff that's going on in us, and it's stopping, you know, it's stunting our spiritual growth. It's stunting our relationship with God. So it's not, it's really hurting us. And one of the things that God's really showed me, if I think about it and it still kind of hurts a little bit, then it's still a wound, you know. And a lot of times you think about certain things, and it's like, as soon as you think about it, you want to push it out of your mind because something in you, almost like you have like a little wound on your arm and somebody just pokes it just a little bit. And you're kind of like, ow. Do that. I'm going to move away. And when someone hits one of those old wounds, I mean, it can even be someone who's not the person who originally hurt you, you know, but they might just remind you of that person, you know, or they say something that reminds you of what that person did. And it's just like, and depending upon your personality, when someone hits that wound, either you're going to draw back and try to kind of, you know, go back and want to be by yourself or want to be alone, or you're going to charge forward and charge at that person, you know. And so, but either one of those is, and it really reveals to us that there's still something going on below the surface. But we're going to talk about what are the results of old wounds. What do those look like? What do those results look like in our lives so that we can look for those things? Because really what we're doing is we're looking for patterns. When we're able to see a pattern in our thought process, we're able to see a pattern in our actions, then we're able to say, okay, well, what is this pattern coming from? Why do I always seem to get a little bit annoyed when someone does this or that? You know, what happened? Because a lot of times we don't even realize that it's linked to something that happened. So let's go ahead and approach it on the Lord in prayer, and then we'll jump in today's lesson. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we glorify you. You alone are worthy, God. And we thank you, Lord, for your desire to not leave us in our pain, to not leave us in our mess, Lord, but to love us out of it. Thank you, Lord, that your love is not based on our perfection, Lord, but it is based on yours. You are love. And we thank you that your love was poured out on the cross, Lord, that it covers, that your love covers the multitude, and that your love covers us. Lord, we ask that you would draw us by your love to love those around us, to love those who have wronged us, who have hurt us, and to recognize, Lord, that they are not the enemy, but that it was our enemy, Satan, that was working in them, causing them to hurt us, trying to hurt us, that it was Satan who wanted to hurt us. And now I fall, man. Help us to pray for those who hurt us and threaten to use us. Help us to love our enemies, because you know that shows that we are your children. Only by your spirit that we're able to do these things with us. Only by your power living in us, Lord, in heaven and power. We ask that you reveal those broken areas of our lives, Lord, that we may be whole. Are you hiding from God? You know, I always think that's such a funny question whenever I ask it, because it sounds like an oxymoron. You know, God is everywhere. How in the world could I possibly hide from God? But many of us are hiding from our Heavenly Father, and we don't even know it. We don't even realize that we're hiding. And, you know, as I've said before, hiding is never a conscious decision. It's something that happens on a subconscious. And we're so busy wearing our perfect Christian mask for the rest of the world that we forget to take it off. We forget to just, you know, like we're talking about in this class, in this part of our class, getting naked before the Lord, and not being ashamed and not being afraid of Him. But a lot of times we're so busy wearing that mask. You know, even in church, we often wear a different mask. And I think we wear masks in church a lot of times, even more than people wear them in the world, because we're so busy trying to prove to everyone how holy we are. And, you know, I'm a good Christian. I'm the perfect Christian. You know, we wear a smile to cover our brokenness. We feel like showing any type of emotion is a sign of spiritual and emotional weakness. And so we try to pretend that we don't feel anything. We laugh to hide secret depression. We try to sing the loudest so we can cover up our doubts and our fears. And, you know, I have so much faith. I have no fear. Do you see how, you know? And I think one of the biggest dangers of that is that other people think that they're the only one who ever has a doubt or a concern. You know, and it alienates other believers when we walk around and pretend that we are perfect. So when we're able to be honest, then we can strengthen each other and say, you know what, I've had a challenge in that area too, and this is what God showed me, and this is, you know, how it helped me.
Right.
Exactly. And really, we think that if we have our guard up, it's only keeping out other people. But that's not the case. When we put our guard up, 99.5% of the time, we don't let that guard down for God. Because that is just, it's a part of who we are. That wall, that extra armor, right? Because that's pretty much what it is. It's our armor that we think is going to keep us safe, because we've been hurt so much in the world. We put this armor on. And that armor, we're not going to just, you know, magically, supernaturally take it off, because we're dealing with the Lord. We're still going to keep up that armor, because it hurts to think that we're not perfect. It hurts sometimes to look at our imperfections, you know. We think that somehow pretending that our pain isn't there makes us more holy. We think that somehow, and whether it's pain that's caused by someone else, or even pain that's caused from ourselves by being disobedient to God. You know, we feel like if I pretend that everything's okay, then that makes me a better Christian. I don't hurt. I don't fear. I never get angry.
Well, I remember speaking where they talk about the woman who, as Samuel, came to the prophet, and her Lord was in him. The son had died, and the prophet sent out his servant to the lady, and he said, all was well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a lot of times we have thought, you know, we have to always confess the positive. And in so doing, you know, then here, all I ever get from him is word class, too. That's where I can't get to know you. I think that I know you're very much in the word, but that's not all of you.
Right.
And, you know, I will never get to know you, and we never could become friends unless you open up.
That's so true, and I think, like, it's interesting. I asked one way, you know, how you doing? Oh, I'm too blessed to be stressed, too annoyed to be disappointed. You know, we have, and that's awesome. That's nothing. There's nothing wrong with saying that.
If you believe it.
Yeah. Right. But
people have to, oh, I'm fantastic. I'm fantastic. Yeah. Yeah.
But I think sometimes we are trying to convince ourselves and are trying to convince everyone around us. And if we're having a day where we're fantastic, you know, then it's awesome.
Yeah.
And when your words aren't lining up with your actions, or, you know, it's interesting because we feel like we have to portray that. And you know what? If I ask you how you're doing, you know, I'm blessed, God is good. That is true, you know. So those are awesome things to say, but if you never are able to get pat, you know, to say something, as you said, there's more to you than that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what else is going on in your life? Is there something that I can pray? There's people who won't ask for prayer because they're too embarrassed for people
right.
to know that their life is imperfect,
right.
and so they don't have the power of of having other people undergird them and lift them up and pray over them. Because they're too embarrassed because they have this perfect Christian mask on. If I go up for prayer, I mean, there have been times even in my own walk when the pastor will say, hey, if you need help with this, that, and the other, come up for prayer. And it's like, well, I don't want to go up for prayer because people are going to know that that's going on in my life. And so we have this idea that we have to keep this facade up because we don't want people to know that our life isn't perfect and we want them to believe. And how much are we missing out on? Because really, that's a perfect example of not taking that mask off for the Lord. The Lord is saying, come forth, let me have my people lay hands on you and pray over you. But you're saying, I can't take that mask off. I can't take off my armor. Then they're going to know I'm imperfect. And then they're going to judge me. Exactly. Exactly. So then we have the question, you know, what is your mask hiding? What things do we try to cover up so that the world doesn't realize that we're not perfect? As I said before, we spend so much time wearing that perfect Christian mask for the rest of the world that we never take it off for Abba. We come to Him as if we're already perfect, as if we already have it all together. And why is that? Well, I think one of the reasons is because we're so used to being judged and rejected for our imperfection. We're so used to, in the world, We're used to being judged, and we assume that people are going to judge us. And subconsciously, we're afraid that God, the one we love more than anything in the world, is going to reject us. If He really knew me, you know, He's perfection. If God really knew every dark area of my life, exactly, why would He want to be bothered with me? You know, if I take every little thing to Him, eventually He's going to get it. If I mean, many times we just have this idea that, you know, once I get it together, and someone said this to me, I don't even know how many times people have said this to me, but someone said it to me just last Saturday. Well, I figured I'd wait till I got myself all together, and then I'd come to God. You know, once I get that area of my life together, then I'll come to Him. Then I'll pray more. Then I'll feel more comfortable in His presence.
You have strength in yourself to do that.
Exactly. We don't.
But that's because a lot of times we're not aware. We can spend time with Him. You know, a lot of it is our, it's kind of our fault. It's like, you know, because we're in possession. Sorry, is that possible?
Please go for it.
You know, we sin, and we don't repent, and we have evil thoughts sometimes, and we don't have good thoughts about ourselves, and we're frustrated. And so those are the things that we kind of focus on. We focus on the negative part of us, and instead of going to the Father and delaying the stuff out in front of Him and crying if He wants it, just giving the stuff to Him and thanking Him. When we're weak, you know, He helps us be strong. When we're unpeaceful, He can cause us to be peaceful. So if we're spending that time with Him in prayer, just giving things to Him, you're not asking, but just praising Him and just loving on Him. And that's where that relationship will open up. And I know exactly what you're saying. because when I blow it and I feel bad about it, and I don't go to the Father to ask Him for repentance, to thank Him for forgiving me, then that relationship we have, the fellowship, calling the Bible, the fellowship, the full joining, is not there. But, you know, and I would say another thing, feelings come and go, but the Word of God lives in the Bible, so we can't really know how to feel. But, you know, in our actions, feeling all action.
Mm-hmm.
When you act, when you pray, and you give your life to God, your feelings will tend to fall.
And that's so true, that what you said just kind of reminded me of. Well, and you've had to learn that through experience. I mean, that's the only way that we learn any of that is through experience. And one of the things, when you said that, it reminded me of, there's so many marriage counselors out there that say, okay, if you've fallen out of love with your spouse, go do something that people who are in love do. Go on a, you know, 2-week-long vacation with them and act like you're in love, and you will begin to have those loving feelings again. And so a lot of times we have to do that with God. It's like, okay, I don't feel in love with God right now, so I need to worship as if I were. I need to spend, you know, pray and just dive in, and then those feelings will follow. But it's our actions. A lot of times we're waiting for our feelings so that we can start acting. And we have to act, and then the feelings will come.
I've had it for a while. There's so many people who have been on this. And love is not really a feeling. You get feelings from doing the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why so many marriages break up, because people, like you said, they're waiting. They don't even know what it is to be in love.
Yeah,
they don't have a clue. You know, they're just clueless, you know. That's why, you know, like after, what, 5-7 years, you know, things, you let all those negative things build up and everything, and then you can't stand to look at the person, because if you look at them and all those negative feelings are there.
You open up the night and you work it all out,
feelings,
the little things.
Well, it actually should have been all the way
up. All the way along.
Because by that time, it's hard. It's very hard. You know, so hard. And you wait.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned that it really happens.
Oh, yeah.
It's unbelievable. Like, my wife brings up stuff that happened 23 years ago, and I'm just, get on with it. I can't change that. There's nothing I can do about that. It's in the past, you know?
I think it's difficult when we don't allow that healing to take place in any relationship, whether it's a friend relationship, whether it's a marriage relationship, to keep moving on, because we still have that open wound, you know? And it's like, until we allow God to heal that wound, we're going to constantly, in our mind, keep going back to that area, because for some reason it still hurts, you know? But as we were talking about, you know, we wear this mask because we're so used to being judged. We're so used to being judged, and we don't want God to reject us for who we really are. And who are we really? We're human.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we are human. We are full of imperfections and all types of stuff that we don't want to look at. And we think God doesn't want to look at either. And as I always say, God knew, and it's funny because I heard Joyce Meyer say this with me too, and I was watching that. God knew what He was getting when He called me. He knew all of, you know, like this morning, I did not have as much patience as I should have had, and I was snappy with my husband, and when I see him, I'm going to have to apologize because I was snappy. And, you know, God knew that I was going to have to work at controlling my mouth when He called me. He knew that my temper without His presence is not as long as it should be, you know, and He called me anyway, and that day, 12 years ago, however long it was, when I came and gave myself to Him, He knew when He drew me to that altar that day that He was going to have to deal with me for the rest of my life, and that I was going to be imperfect, even though I have a heart for Him and I love Him, and I'm constantly trying to be better, and He's constantly showing me the areas I need to grow in. it's going to be, you know, whenever he calls me home, I'm still going to be going to jail. And until we recognize that and get rid of this idea that someday we're just going to magically be this perfect Christian that's never, ever going to make another mistake, never going to have another negative thought, until we get rid of the idea that someone else is going to be that, you know, a lot of times we're always comparing ourselves to other people and we're comparing our worth to their best. And then when that person falls and makes a mistake, then it ruins our faith somehow because they made a mistake. Because we put them on a pedestal that only Jesus should be on and expected them to be perfect. And then when we see pastors or ministers fall and do something, oh, well, if they can't be perfect, then why am I even trying? Well, it's not about being perfection. It's about having a heart that's towards God and constantly trying to do that and grow. Exactly. As we said last week, God is not like man. With man, we are accepted based on our performance. But in Christ, your acceptance is not based on performance. Because if that were the case, none of us would be able to be accepted. And that's what Jesus got. Jesus knew that if he had to wait on us to be perfect, he'd be waiting for so he said, I'll come down in my perfection. I'll make it right. And now when you make a mistake, instead of running away from me, you can run towards me. That's why he said, then what is God's love based on? It's not based on our perfection. It's based on his. And as we talked about last week, God is love. He is unconditional, unchanging love. He is love perfected and personified. I just love that. When God spoke that to me last week, I thought that is one of the most beautiful things. He is love perfected and personified. It's his very nature to love us in spite of ourselves and to love us out of ourselves. Whatever those imperfections are, he wants to love them out of us, not beat them out of us as we thought about in the past. Like, God is going to knock us upside the head until everything just falls out. Oh, goodness. But it's his plan to love us and draw us. You know, so many times churches spend so much time beating people over the head with the word and telling people how awful they are. And they wonder why people don't want to come to church. But if you would just tell people about God's love and his passion for them, that's really what makes people fall in love with the Lord, when they realize how much he loves them. And that is what causes us to change, because when we really have a fresh revelation of that love, then we want to perform for that love. You know, we want to please him. We want him to be pleased with us. How do we hide? You know, this week I wanted to talk about one of the ways we hide. The next week we want to talk about some other ways. But we're going to talk about burying our pain. Are there certain issues that seem too painful to face so you pretend they are not there? Or is there excruciating pain from your past that you just try not to think about? But it's still there, stuffed back into the dark corners of your heart. Whether you realize it or not, these hidden pains can affect every area of your life. We often think that it's more Christian to bury wounds from our past deep inside of ourselves. We hope that with the passing of time, they will become more bearable or just disappear. Somehow we think that admitting we aren't over it is a sign of emotional, mental, and spiritual weakness. You know, they say that time heals all wounds, but Bruce, you can attest to the fact that is not true. You were talking about sometimes your wife will bring up things from a long time ago.
I
imagine
it because I was so old.
No.
No. I can attest to that. You've been here a long time, and you still haven't.
No, that's not what I meant. There are certain things that you would think, okay, well, now, by now, she should definitely be
right,
okay. But time does not heal all wounds. You know, we say that, but it's just not true. God heals all wounds, but wounds, if we do not take them to him, they can haunt us. And, you know, when we try to push painful issues from our mind, we think we're dealing with it. It's like, okay, I'm not thinking about it, right? I'm not dwelling on it all the time. So I am dealing with it. That's
remember
not dealing with it.
You told that when you renew your mind, if you don't think about the past or you don't think about the hurt or anything, then your renewed mind becomes the word and then everything else falls into place. But there's more to it.
I really think that. Because that's the way I really functioned for a long time. I thought, okay, if I just don't think about it, and I just, every time that comes up, I'm going to think the word. Right. But I'm like, well, why does it keep coming back up then?
Yeah.
If that's supposed to be the answer. But then once I started taking those areas to God, I said, Lord, I don't know why this still hurts, but it still hurts. And taking it to Him, and then allowing Him to be Jehovah Rapha in that situation, and heal that one. Instead of just pretending that it's not there. You know?
I've been there. So many people are. Yeah, so, man, just unbelievable. Everybody endeavoring to have a renewed mind and talk about it, the mask.
Mm-hmm.
Just behind it, there's this seething.
Exactly.
A sea of turmoil, you know? And everybody's like, God bless you!
Wonderful today. No, I didn't think you can't have a new way. What are you gonna do in this life? And I didn't know, like, when you sit and talk to another person, like, wow, I'm not a bad person. Yeah, they've done it too. They've done things like that, and they're like that too, and they'll come away and their way. Like, well, I mean, I am not a bad person. I'm not a bad Christian. You know, because you always think, like, wow, you didn't come on. Why am I doing what they're doing? Why am I not have all the spiritual they have? You know, but we're all going to have done things in different times, in different ways, and that.
And I think that's one of the beauties of when we do take off that mask, is that it allows God to use us to show other people that they're not that Christian. That, you know, yeah, we all need to keep speaking, we all need to keep drawing near and allowing God to change us and work in us. And, you know, God's going to complete the work. We're not finished products. You know.
He does expect us to seek Him.
Exactly,
that's
and that's the key.
Constantly seeking Him to improve.
Exactly.
You know, it's that seeking that we get discouraged and frustrated, and we start, you know, the devil comes in the rear of it.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, and God could love you. There's just no way. You know, and you lose that. You know, wanting to be with the mother, you know, wanting to be with other believers, even, you know, from this, you know, when you're with other believers, you're condemning yourself because, you know.
Because you're comparing your worst to their best.
Right, never compare. We are all special. We all have been called, and we've been called for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
We'll never see that reason until we get over comparing ourselves with other people because, you know, it's so different. We're the same. In one sense, but we are so different than others. We're all different experiences.
Exactly. And we're all at different points in our walk, too.
Right.
And what you look like to yourself now is completely different than what you're going to look like 5 or 10 years from now, you know, even more deep into your walk with God. And so, as long as you continue to seek, as Bruce was saying.
Right. Yeah.
And so, that is the key. Because, like, you know, we're talking about wounds today. Well, wounds never get healed if we don't take. You know, if we just keep. I think what you said was so key, because that's really the heart of what we were getting at. The people who just say, okay, well, if I just keep, you know, piling the word on
right. And
keep just regurgitating everything that I've heard, then I'll sound really good, but what's going on under there? And a lot of times we haven't been taught to take off that mask, to be honest and say, okay, Lord, this is what's hurting me. Because we feel like being honest, then somehow how we're confessing the negative, and so God's going to be displeased with us because we're supposed to be over it. But we tell Him we're not over it. Then, you know.
Yeah, that's the next part here is actually when you try to put painful issues in our mind, you think you're actually dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow we've gotten an idea that carrying around tons of pain with a good attitude makes us a good Christian, and that is just so true of, even walking at any church, and that's
yep.
true
That is, and I fought it for so many years. I thought that's what it meant to be a good Christian. You know, this is my cross, and I'm bearing my cross, and I'm going to smile about it. And it's, when God talks, I'm not even going to talk about what it really meant to, you know, take up your cross, because I'm not even going to go there. But that's not what it meant. It didn't just mean go through a whole bunch of horrible stuff and never get healed or restored from it and walk around like everything's okay. That's not what it means. God does not just want you to endure your scars. He wants you to bring them to Him. He's so good. You know, He wants to restore us. He doesn't want to leave us where we are. But we have to uncover the wounds. We must uncover our wounds and bring them before Jehovah Rapha, for the Lord who heals us. If not, we will end up spiritual and emotional crippled, harboring hidden fear, bitterness, and distrust in the depths of our hearts. No, it doesn't. When I thought about the idea of being an emotional and spiritual cripple, and when I talk about being a spiritual cripple, it's like you get to a certain point in your spiritual growth, and then it's like your world is just stunted. And you just get stuck there, where you're just not growing, you're not going deeper, and you can't figure out why, you know. Or we get into this
place.
Because we haven't allowed God to heal those past areas. And so because we're carrying, I mean, it's just, you know, it's like we're this bag lady. We just got all of these bags, right? We just got, I'm just going to put on all of this stuff. And here's, you know, when this person hurt me. Here's what my mom used to say about me. And here's this, here's that. And I've got all of these bags. And I'm trying, well, you're not going to move very fast, right? Carrying all of this stuff. You can't go very fast and you can't go very far. And eventually you're just going to be like, I'm tired. You're just going to sit down where you are and cross your arms because you're carrying all this junk. And what God wants to do is say, let me peel off this layer. Let me peel off that layer. Okay, well now, and this is something that God has shown me through my healing journey. There have been so many times that I thought that I was over something, and God said, hey, actually, no. Let me bring that. There's more to that that I want to heal. There's more going on beneath the surface. And, you know, what are the results of these hidden wounds? When we don't take these wounds to the cross, they leave ugly scars in our lives. And these are scars that a lot of times we see the scar, but we don't really recognize where it came from. And so we really have to take it to the Lord and say, Lord, why do I have this fear? You know, I just feel like I have this underlying, you know, the Bible talks about evil foreboding. And this is something that I dealt with for a long time. I would just, it's like no matter how good things were going, I was just waiting for the other shoe to drop. Just waiting for something else to go bad. Because in my mind, something else was bound to go wrong because life is hard. Life is not good. Life is not happy. This is not what life is. Life is a struggle all the time. And that's what I thought in my mind because of the things that had happened in my past. I wasn't thinking Jesus came that I could have life and have it more abundantly, and he came so I could have and enjoy my life. That's not what I was thinking. In my mind, life was not meant to be enjoyed. It was meant to be endured. And that was because of those past scars. And until God healed those scars, I was never going to enjoy my life. I was always going to walk around with that fear in the back of my mind, waiting for that next shoe to drop. Or that little bit of anger or bitterness, depression, lack of trust in others, always second-guessing people's motives. Why do they want to do something nice to me? What do they want from me? Right? Because people aren't good. You know, people don't just do nice things for other people. They're having some hidden motive there.
What do I get for? I can't have something for that. You know, can't you just do something for me? Why do I have to do something nice for you? You know, like, people
are
like,
what?
You know?
Well, and
sometimes you will, but I mean, why do you have to have something
in that
to you? What do I get out of it?
Well, and that's the challenge. When we've experienced so many people like that, then we assume that everyone's going to be that way, right? Because we have had so many experiences, and then we begin to kind of just carry that around with us. We don't trust people's motives. We don't trust, you know, when people say they're going to do something, it's like, well, I can't count on you. If it's going to be, it's up to me, I'm going to have to do it myself. Because I can't count that you're going to come through for me because I don't trust other people. And a lot of times we'll carry that over to our relationship with God. well, I'm going to go ahead and do it myself because then I know it gets done. You know, what if I depend on God and it doesn't get done? You know, what if he leaves me hanging, everybody else does? You know, I mean, we have these programs running in the back of our mind and we don't even realize that they're doing, they just become a part of our DNA. Yeah. I mean, we have a computer program that's running in the background that we don't even know is running. And it's dictating our lives. It's controlling us even when we don't realize it. God, I mean, God's working some stuff out. But it's so important. You know, when I'm talking about lack of trust in God, that self-sufficient Christian, we're going to talk about that in a couple weeks. Maybe next week, I'm not sure exactly when it comes in. But feeling like I have to, if it's going to be, it's up to me. I have to get it done. Because so many people have let me down that if I don't want to be hurt again, I don't want to trust anymore.
I want to hope.
Exactly. And just exactly. And God talks about, you know, something about hope being not ashamed. He's not going to shame you and hope. I don't remember exactly. But I just have to quote that scripture all the time because I used to be very afraid to hope. Because I don't, you know, what are you always taught when you're little? Don't get your hopes up. Don't you get your hopes up. Right? And so now, we're adults and we're trying to hope in the Lord and we have what? That hidden program running back there. But don't you get your hopes up. And so we we have been let down so many times. Like I talked about a couple weeks ago about that whole story with my dad and wanting the bike and stuff like that. And it's like, well, you don't want to get your hopes up because what happens when that person doesn't come through you? What happens when God doesn't come through you? And now you're going to be hurt and you're going to be disappointed. And we become so afraid of that feeling that we don't step out in trust.
And, you know, I know so few of us are afraid of that.
I want to pretend that I'm not mad with God, but I'm still questioning, well, Lord, why did you let that happen? And so you're trusting God to a certain extent, but not as far as you used to, because you haven't taken that fact that you were kind of frustrated when it happened last time.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when my husband and I, when we were, you know, everybody's heard our testimony of how we lost our first pregnancy. It would have been really easy for me to get really mad with God. I mean, thankfully, my husband and I had the wisdom that we left the doctor's office and we came straight here. I mean, don't pass go, don't collect $200. Because if we would have let the enemy in, it just would have been no way. Because I was believing, I mean, I had my scripture confessions and I was confessing, you know, that this child, everything was going to be okay. And I'm like, well, Lord, what happened? You know, I stood and it didn't come out the way I thought it was going to. And God had to show me so many different things. You know, Jesus is taking the sting out of death, and death has no control here. My child is not dead. My child is alive in heaven. Hallelujah. And when I go worship God this morning, she's going to be in heaven worshiping God with me. And, you know, when I took my wound to the Lord and said, Lord, I'm really a little bit angry about this, and I don't understand how you could let this happen, and was honest with him so that he could show me what really happened. I thought, okay, Lord, now I have a fresh revelation of heaven that I never had before. Now, you know, and I've given my testimony about this to several people, and had so many people who were just blessed beyond belief by that challenge that we had. And I'm like, Lord, how many people, like hundreds and hundreds of people's lives were touched by that child's life, and how short was their life here on earth? I mean, the amazing thing that I was able to do. But if I wouldn't have just said, you know what, I'm mad. I'm going to be honest and say I am angry and I don't understand. And Abba, what happened? I trust you that you're wiser than me, so I'm going to sit at your feet and let you explain this to me. And I thank you that you are our Lord who's willing to do that.
Thank you, Lord. Well, you do this and I'll be mad. It makes you, you know, the kind of person bargain, you know, he does feel that, you know.
But realizing that we can talk to him and that he is interested and he's willing to talk to us. What time is it?
It's 2:00.
We'll finish. I'll come back to this next week. I know this is something that we really want to. Yeah. Something that we really want to dig into. You can never talk too much. You're adding value. You're adding value. How do we know if we have hidden pain? And a lot of times it's hidden from ourselves. One of the main ways that we do this is we watch for patterns. We watch for patterns in our actions and we watch for patterns in our thought life. And once we recognize those patterns, then we pray and ask God to reveal the root. What is the root of that pattern? And it's so funny because when I was writing this lesson, and God was like, well, root stands for something. And I'm like, I don't have time for this. I'm trying to hear what root stands for. I've got to finish this lesson, Lord. And thankfully, God slowed me down enough to actually hear. But repressed obstacle opposing truth. That's what root stands for. If I'm going to become the person that God originally intended, I must address the influences in my life that he never intended. The things that I've done and the things that other people have done to me. Right? Those are things that the enemy wanted to inject into our lives to bring us down. And of course, God can use those things to bless us in different ways. But those are things that God never intended to happen. Okay? They're not in God's perfect will for us. We have to address our values, all those negative things. Those repressed obstacles that oppose the truth. Things that we try to, obstacles that we've gone through, things that we've gone through, that we try not to think about, that we repress. And those things oppose God's truth. What is the truth? Truth here is ultimate truth. Anything and everything that God says. And many times, we have these painful experiences that plant lies in us, that tell us lies about who God is. And so when we go through, for instance, when I was talking about losing our first friend, we're not losing it, our first child going up to heaven. That experience could lie to me and say, well, God is not faithful. Or, you know, even you're never going to be able to have children. That experience can lie and say so many different things. When I was sexually abused as a child, that experience told me, you're not worth anything. You're dirty. You're not lovable. Okay? Though a lot of times the experiences that we have, they oppose truth. They oppose who God is in us, and they oppose who we are in God.
Mm-hmm.
And they lie to us. But those lies feel true because they're based in our experiences, right? And but our experiences and our feelings, if they don't line up with the ultimate truth, then we have to really rearrange the way that we're thinking about them, if that makes sense. So the root is any painful experience that planted a seed of lies in your mind. Lies about who God is and who you are to him. roots are often the basis for mental strongholds in our lives. What are mental strongholds? I'm not talking about spiritual strongholds here, but mental strongholds. They're a lie from the enemy that feels true. It goes against the knowledge of Christ, who he is in you and who you are in him. And many times you've believed it for so long that it becomes a part of your emotional being. It just becomes a part of, like we talk about that program that's running in the background. You know, we talk about that program that's running in the background that we don't even realize is going. And it feels like the truth. I can read God's word and I can see that he says that he loves me so much that even while I was in sin, you know, he sent his son to die for me. So that says that I'm lovable. And I can read that, but it won't feel true. And I don't know if anybody else has ever had this experience where you read something in the Bible and it sounds good in theory, but it doesn't really feel like it applies to your life. It doesn't feel true to you. And so we have to address what's the root that's causing the word to seem like it's the lie, instead of my thoughts realizing that it's my thinking that's the lie and not God's word. Confronting those underlying beliefs that are contrary to God's truth is key to true freedom. It's one of the most important things we can do. And you talked about Bruce renewing our minds. I thought it was interesting. I was listening to a minister the other day, and he said, one of the most important things you can say to a non-believer is belief. But the most important thing that you can say to a Christian is to renew your mind. But renewing our mind doesn't just mean memorizing a whole bunch of scripture. It means inviting God into our thoughts to show us what thoughts don't line up with his word. And then addressing those painful areas that are causing us to think that. I'm going to stop there.
Where does this start? Does it start with thoughts, then words, and then actions?
Oh, are you looking at the cycle?
Yeah.
Yep. Thoughts, words, actions, habits, destiny. And then a lot of times our destiny is that can call our thoughts. But we're going to start there next time.
We'll start
there. Okay. But yeah, we'll start there next time. Thank you. God is awesome.
I know you didn't.
I know. Well, I really pray that this class was helpful today. I mean, I know it's some meaty stuff that we're talking about. And it's stuff that I don't really understand how we get into this whole place of thinking that we just have to bear everything with a good attitude with Jesus, the one who's supposed to be bearing stuff.
Because we
Well, especially if you're faking it, but you're never making the effort to actually get to the make it part.
Yeah.
Right? If you never
actually.
It is very painful. It is. It's utterly painful. And it's lonely and alienating because you think you're the only one doing it.
Yeah.
And you think, well, everyone else has it together.
Yeah.
And, well, I mean, for so long I thought, well, all the other Christians, they seem to have it all together, and I'm just over here, just, I can't figure out why I'm not where they are. And God's like, they're not where they are either.
It's never going to happen. It's not going to happen. I'm taking too darn long, you know?
Yeah,
sure. Why can't I have that, you know? What's the problem? What's the holdup, you know? What am I doing wrong?
So once God begins to show us that, for one, we can be happy where we are in the process of becoming who he wants us to become,
right.
We can find joy and peace in him right where we are as we're changing, as we're growing, if we're seeking him. Because he doesn't want us walking around in self-condemnation all the time, feeling like we are just the worst person in the world and he's displeased with us.